This is the With a Dog podcast, a podcast for the modern dog parent. I'm your host, Carly, and every Wednesday I bring on pet professionals or some fellow dog parents, and we laugh, learn, and commiserate about everything from the confusing vet visits to dog park etiquette to the 2 a.m. potty breaks. Essentially, life with a dog. Hello, people with a dog. Thank you for being here today, especially after last week's episode where I thought I was some kind of self-help guru. A lot of you messaged me and said that you liked it. So thank you so much for that. You know how I'm always bajiggity about doing solo episodes, but it was really nice to just have an episode just to talk to you guys, do some life updates. I don't know where I was going with the like, this will help you ease your anxiety and here's a good mindset to have. But it has been working well for me, and I really do feel like my priorities and all of that are just really on track right now. So thank you everyone who listened and enjoyed. But on to today's episode. I am so excited for this because it was such a fun and easy conversation with Caitlin. She is the dog mom and horse girl behind the Sparkles and Sunshine blog, where she talks about canine enrichment and canine fitness, but also she has two dogs, two cats. She cares for two horses as well. So she talks about all of that on her blog and really just aims to help pet parents everywhere have the best lives possible with their pets. But on top of all that, she was actually just so fun to talk to, you guys, and you'll hear it in the interview. I can't even call it an interview. It was more just like this really awesome conversation between two dog moms. We were just chatting. I could have talked to Caitlin for hours. She was so fun, so knowledgeable, and I know you guys are going to enjoy this one too. We talked about the similarities and differences between caring for a horse and having a dog, finding the right dog sport and enrichment activities for your dog, the surprising crossover between equine and canine fitness, as well as thinking outside of the box with how to afford caring for dogs and horses. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and let's jump into it with Caitlin. All right, Caitlin, welcome to the With a Dog podcast.
Hello, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. I'm excited too. I know we met through Tori, just for a background for everyone. We met through Tori Mystic. She's the Wear, Wag, Repeat podcast. And you just have like such a great energy about you, Caitlin. And then as soon as I saw that you were horse girl, dog mom, cat mom, we need to talk to her. So I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you? Like dog mom check-in. How's life? What's going on?
Yeah. So life is good. I've been in the works of a lot of exciting things this year. For anyone who doesn't know, my blog actually is my full-time job. I was able to take it full-time, you know, a year and a half ago, kind of when COVID hit and I got laid off and all of that. I just kind of looked at everything. I was like, can I do this? I looked at my now fiance and he's like, let's just try. The worst thing you can do is, you know, get a new job. I was like, okay. And so I, you know, took this full-time. And so this year, my goal is to really scale a lot of things. I want to launch some digital products that I've been in the works of creating. I'm redoing my website, which hopefully by the time this launches, you'll have seen the new website, which is really exciting. And just a lot of other stuff that's kind of behind the scenes right now. So life's been pretty good.
That's awesome. You know what I think the secret to your happiness is? I think it's because you live in Florida and the sun is out.
And you're not wrong.
Yeah. You're like, life is good. And I'm over here, Seattle, February, like, ugh. Life is gray and gloomy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because my fiance, he was in the Navy for a long time, and he got stationed out in California. And right before he was about to re-enlist, they were going to go up to Washington. And he was just like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Especially if he was going to be relocated to where I think he would be.
Yeah.
Probably. It's either like out in the islands or in like out in the Pacific, like in the Puget Sound, or it's like up in Everett.
Yeah.
It's not terrible places, but like gloomy. Like yeah, you are surrounded by like the gray ocean.
Yeah.
And it's gray sky. And yeah.
It doesn't sound enjoyable. It just doesn't.
No. Was he like San Diego in California?
Yeah, he was San Diego.
Okay.
It was nice. Like we went out there I went out there to visit him when he was coming back. We made the trip out there together. And then when he was getting out, I flew over there and we drove back. Road trip back was way better because I planned it. Going out there, I let him plan. Never doing that again.
Yes, I bet.
I told him before, so when he listens to this, it's not going to mean no surprise to
him. Yeah.
But yeah, I went over there and I really loved downtown San Diego because I loved all of the restaurants and the diversity there. We got to try so many different things. Little Italy was my fave because I'm an Italian foodaholic. So that was phenomenal. I went there like 10 times, probably in the span of 4 days. So I'll let you guys do the math there. Other than that, I wish we had been able to see more of Northern California because I think that's more of me and him's vibe than SoCal.
Yeah.
But that'll be another trip one day. All the things look good too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if you need any NorCal, you know, recs, I can definitely provide that. That's
cool.
Where I'm from. So yeah. No, it's a fun spot. But yeah, I have some friends in the military. And so I was kind of like, okay, he's probably was in San Diego.
Yeah.
And then yeah, he would probably be up in Everett or something.
Okay,
so you guys are in Florida now. Mm-hmm. Your blog.
Yeah, Sparkles and Sunshine.
How do you come up with that name?
You know, I actually was talking about it with someone at my barn today. I don't know how we started talking about it. I was legit in a Publix parking lot walking in to get I couldn't tell you what, and it just popped into my head. And instead of being maybe a more smart person, be like, well, let's think this through. Is this really what you want to name? I said, no, I'm sticking with it. I didn't give any second thoughts, think of a backup. I just said, that's it.
First off, that's such a, I feel like, a healthy way to make decisions.
Sometimes.
To not like have anxiety over it. Well, yeah, sometimes. But also the entrepreneur, I don't know, there's something about walking, I swear, at least for me too. Like, I'm just like walking, doing nothing, like nothing related to the podcast.
Yeah.
And I have this like brilliant idea. And if I don't write it down, then I forget it immediately. But
yes.
I'm like, you know, so I'm like always I have this like notes on my phone. It looks like it's in code. Like you can't even understand it.
Yeah.
But it's just like random thoughts that come to me while I'm doing something entirely different. So I like that.
Yeah, it's probably one of the first and only decisions in my life I didn't overthink. So it's quite nice.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Well, it's worked out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, on that note, since this is the With a Dog podcast, mm-hmm. I always ask everyone to kind of think about a recent With a Dog win you've had. So it could be just like a win in life, you know, related to dogs or personal or business or anything.
Yeah. So I feel like I already know a good answer to that. And it's actually with both of my dogs. So my two dogs, I have one, Diesel. He's my Mastiff mix. He's Brindle. He's beautiful. He's a good boy. when he was younger, he did all of his training and stuff like that. And he hasn't really been to a class in years because he's just, you know, he knows everything. And when I started doing agility with Annie, I was like, okay, I really want to do something with Diesel again. And so I started rally class with him. And he's been doing so good. And it's been nice to see him get out there and show off his skills. And we did a new exercise and we did like a mini course at our class the other night. And he just did it perfectly. And it just made me so happy. Aww. Because I wanted to do that class not only to get him back out there and get him doing more socialization and stuff again since it's been so long. But I also just wanted to show off how cool my dog was because he is just so great. And it's nice because he's a mama's boy. So I got videos of it. And the whole time he's just looking up at me, smiling. And I'm just doing kind of the same thing back at him. So it's just nice when you just see your dog just having so much fun because they're with you. So that's my win for him. And then with Annie, I do agility with her. And we did a course we're doing a league right now on Wednesdays. And the course that we did had some kind of interesting things that you had to be aware of, or else your dog could go the wrong direction or to a different obstacle on the course, which they put those in there sometimes to tempt your dog. So you have to really be aware. And we were watching people go before us and we were really seeing what not to do and what to do. And we were the first person to really get solid communication. And that's something that's been a huge win for us a lot lately, is I feel like me and her are just very in sync with a lot of things. Like I'm able to, as long as I'm doing my part right and I'm pointing and going in the right direction and setting her up, me and her are very much in sync. So that's been a really big win. And to see it with that one hard obstacle that everyone was struggling with, for us to nail it on the first try, I was ecstatic. I didn't care if we did anything else right. I was just happy about that. So that was a recent win. Both of them just did so good with us just kind of having that communication together. And it was just really fun to see.
That's so cute. I could just like picture it. You described it so well. Of just like them looking at you like for direction, mm-hmm. or just like, hey, we're here, we're doing this together. Ah. And it was just, the win was like your relationship with them,
yeah.
in that moment, and yeah. them experiencing joy like alongside you. That's so sweet. I love that. Okay, really quickly though, rally, because I have not done a lot of dog sport.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about dog sports on the podcast,
yeah.
and had like some people on, but not like this is what this is. This is what this is.
Yeah.
So rally as a dog sport, really quickly for everyone, like what is that?
So essentially, what rally is kind of leveled up obedience. So and a course is basically kind of created out of obedience. So essentially, what you'll do is you learn different signs that you have different things that you do for each sign. It'll have like shapes or different things on it, words. And basically when you approach that sign, you have to do what's on the sign correctly before you move forward to the next. So in a standard test that you would do, I think it's like 12 to 15 signs that can be given to you. You don't know which ones they're going to be. And then I think overall there's 42 signs that it can be picked from. So it's a lot of memorization. Okay. I have not memorized all of them yet. Maybe we'll get there. But it's essentially that, and you kind of start at one end of your ring and you kind of work through the ring until you finish, and then you lead out, and your score is based on how much you do right. If a lot of people are doing really well and it's like a tiebreaker, it all comes down to who finished it, I think, at the best time, I believe is like the rule.
Okay.
So there's a few different factors and stuff like that, but it's really cool because it reminds me of dressage, which is what I do with horses. In my opinion, it's dressage for dogs in a sense.
Okay.
If you do dressage, you can put that connection together and they'll be like, oh my God, that's so true. So that's how I look at it. So it's kind of fun.
Thank you for explaining that, because I think I've seen like reels of rally before and stuff, but like I've never had like an explanation of like, this is how it works. And yeah, I'm really intrigued now, because my dog Albus is very good at listening and being trained, mm-hmm. unlike my previous dog Lupin, who could not be trained to save his life. Oh. As far as like obedience training,
yeah.
like as far as like, you know, like sit, like do these tricks or like do these kind of things.
Yeah.
He was like passively trained very well. You know, if we'd be like, he could be off leash and I'd be like, no, we're going this way. And he'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But not like commands or like cues really.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, I've been there.
Yeah. So yeah, my current dog though, Albie, totally good at that stuff. And so I've been thinking about things to do with him that he would like, but he's also older. So I'm like, I don't want to do agility because I think he's like, he's very athletic, but I don't want him like, I'm like, he's a little too old to like
How tall is he? What type of dog is he?
He's a like a English coonhound mix, like a red tick coonhound mix.
Oh,
so
cool.
He's like 65 pounds. And
I can tell you what to do with him. You should do barn hunt with that dog. Let him use his nose and find rats.
This is the issue. I agree. My Lupin would have been so good at barn hunt. Albie, he cannot use his nose to save his life. Like the mix in him, whatever the other mix, because I think he's a mix of like herding breeds and
he has no nose.
He has no nose. It's so funny. Like Lupin was like old and like practically deaf and blind.
Yeah.
And I would like throw kibble on the ground and he would find every single one. I throw it on the ground for Albie and he has to use his eyes. Yeah. He's like, he doesn't see it. It doesn't exist. And I'm just like, find it. And it's so hard for him.
That's funny.
Anyway, but I mean, it works well for me when I want to like exhaust him, because he has to work so much harder to like actually sniff it out.
To function. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
If he had a nose, that would have been the first thing I recommended, or even just scent work. But Rally, I mean, Diesel, he turns 8 this year too, and he's an extra large breed. So even though he's a mix, I don't always know, you know, what my timeline is with him, because I've always had dogs that are a little bit smaller. I grew up with like labs and stuff like that. That age range is 12 to 14. When you start getting into the bigger breeds, that timeline can be a bit shorter potentially. So, I totally get trying to do something as they're older and maybe not have as much of an impact. Like Annie's only 4. So she's okay. Mm-hmm. And Diesel also had TPLO surgery last year. So I'm also always trying to be very aware of everything with him. But obedience and stuff like that, you're good to go. And Rally, it's just, it's the only thing I feel like with Rally is just like, it's just a lot of memorization. And the biggest thing knowing is like, if you ever wanted to like do a test for fun. Just know you're probably going to mess up and then just laugh and keep going. Because
yes. All you can yeah, do. Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to mess up. Agree.
Yeah. That's like, I'm like, I doubt he would mess it up. It would definitely be me. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't remember what this one was.
Yeah. Everything is usually handler error, even with agility. If Annie goes one way and I'm like, I look down and my feet were pointing at it, I'm like, well, that's my fault.
That's, yeah. Okay. Well, before we get too far into dog sports. Mm-hmm. Let's learn about all of your animals.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned dressage.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about your cats earlier before we started recording. Like, okay, Caitlin.
Yes.
Girl, I was trying to like write out all your animals. So I was like stalking you on Instagram to like prep and everything. And I was like, wait, there's another cat? Wait, like, are there two horses? Like, I was like, oh, wait, are there more? So... run through like all of the animals that you have care of whatever.
I'll start with the cats. So Colonel Mustard is our ginger cat. He's about a year and a half, almost a year and a half. We actually, our birthday's in the same month of July, which is gonna be fun this year. And we got him last March, actually 2 weeks before Diesel's TPLO surgery. I decided, let's put this at the same time. Let's do the smartest thing possible. But he's the most perfect cat in the world. He's so chill. He has his ginger cat, orange cat behavior, energy, as everyone's seen. They're very fun cats. He has the best personality, if I can have that pun in there. I love puns. But he's a very good boy. And then Butler is our other cat. He's a kitten right now. He's about 8 months old. I actually found him. I was leaving the barn and... it was pouring rain and I was driving and I thought I saw like a sock in the road. It was actually him. And he was in the middle of the road between the two lines, pouring rain. And I was like, oh my God, that's a cat. So I pulled over, picked him up. He didn't even move. I think he was a combination of terrified / please save me. You know, I think it was both. Picked him up, went back to my trainer because it wasn't far because they have a lot of barn cats and I couldn't even see what gender he was or anything. And they gave me a towel and all that stuff. And, I took him home and my fiance was calling me like the whole time and I wasn't answering because I didn't want to tell him I found a cat because we already had all the animals. And when I eventually called him, I was like, I have a surprise. And he's like, what does that mean? That's not good. I was like, I found something. He's like, what animal do you have? Like, I mean, and so, you know, we picked up some little food, set him up in the bathroom so he'd be away from all the animals because we couldn't take him to the vet until, you know, really the next day. Got him all checked out, and here he is 8 months later. You know, I think initially Chandler thought he was we were going to find him a home, and I said, he will not stay here. You know what I mean? Like, not said yes. Like, yes, we will find him a home. I knew the whole time I was going to keep him. But it worked out really well because him and Colonel get along so well. And I love seeing how happy they make each other. And I've always had at least two of everything because I like them having a friend. So that worked out nice. And then my dogs, Diesel's my oldest. He's my Brindle Mastiff mix. We rescued him. We met him at about 8 weeks old. Had to wait a month to get him because he had some ringworm that had to clear up. And he is kind of that definition of a certified good boy. Had him potty trained, leaving the house by himself by 5-6 months old. He never got into anything. He doesn't do anything wrong. The only thing he will do, he's tall. He can reach a dining room table. If you have food close enough, he's like, worth it. I'm going to get my butt beat. I don't care. I'm stealing it. He had soup once and he burned his mouth. And then 2 seconds later, he went, oh, soup. It went again. I was like, what? Did you not remember what just happened? So he's a very good boy. He's the one that I can literally take anywhere, and he protects me at all costs. You know, he's great with his friends, but then, you know, he's also the one you don't want to find in a dark alley because he can be quite intimidating if you are the wrong person. I'll say that. And then Annie, I got her during COVID, right before lockdown hit across the U.S., I drove up to Destin, which is about 6 hours from where I live, there, and then another 6 back. It's past Tallahassee. And I found her online. I had been looking for a second dog for a long time. Followed this rescue. Her picture popped up as I was scrolling on lunch break, and I was like, that's my dog. So I called, had a great conversation with the rescue organization, drove up that next, paid the adoption fee. Then I told Chandler that I got her. Cause obviously once I paid, he can't say no.
You're like, it's not refundable.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, I'm not making just a donation. I'm getting the dog. So I drove up that weekend and got her. And she's great. She's very funny, though, because she can be very anxious and reactive. And I think a lot of it has to do with being a COVID puppy and not being able to get out. But I also, after having her for 4 years now, think that also could just be part of who she is. I'll never know what the difference would have been if she could have been out more. But she taught me a lot about that. She's basically the polar opposite of Diesel. I had to learn about more reactivity. I had to learn about stimulation since she is more of like a herding breed. She's like a cattle dog pointer Aussie mix. So she is very, her mind doesn't stop. And if she gets a free moment, she steals my Rice Krispie treats, which she did the other day because she was mad. So, you know, she's constantly puzzling and stuff like that. So she taught me a lot about that. So, and she's, because of her, I want more of those breeds. I want like Aussies and Border Collies and stuff because I find it fascinating. So those are my dogs and cats. And then I don't have my own horse yet. I ride lesson horses at the barn. The one I'm currently riding, I ride two, mostly Leonessa and Joker. Leonessa is a semi-retired upper-level dressage horse. She's phenomenal. And then Joker, he's a very, very special horse. He is bomb-proof. We have a video of him walking through fireworks. Nothing scares him. Mm. He's the horse for more anxious riders like myself. He just takes it out and just lets you focus on yourself. And that, for any horse person listening, knows how much of a blessing that is. So he's been teaching me a lot, and I plan to learn a lot from him. So same with Leonessa. They're both really great. So that's kind of the family. I'm hoping in the next 1 to 2 years I can get my own horse, but I got to start saving up because to have something like that, it costs a lot of money, which I don't have.
Yes. Okay. That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Because two cats, two dogs, like that alone is like time and money and effort and all of that.
Yeah.
And then riding horses as well.
Yeah.
I have never, like, I've never had a horse or like been like a horse rider or anything, but I have a lot of friends who, as much as I grew up in Sacramento, like there is like a rural aspect, like it's kind of like surrounded by farmland. So I know, like I have a lot of friends who, you know, would ride horses or have them on their property and growing up. So it's like, I know how also expensive and time and energy and all of that goes into horses as well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how does this girl have the time? Where do you find the energy?
I don't really know how I'm alive. But the energy, I have been the Energizer Bunny since I was a kid. I can't explain it. Everyone I meet asks if they can bottle it up and sell it. I couldn't tell you. I think my fiance hates it sometimes because I'm more of a morning person and I start at like 6 and he's just like, you know, trying to sleep. And I'm just like, why are you asleep? The day has started. And he's like, can you not? No, it hasn't. So
I love how he's the military man too. Cause they're like that stereotype is like they're up at 5 a.m. and like all of that. You're like, hello.
If he could sleep till noon, I feel like if that was a possibility, he totally would. Me, good if man. I sleep in till 6:30, that's a win. Like I just can't. So he feel bad for him. But yeah, no, it's balance is really hard. I'm not gonna lie, I'd get overwhelmed all the time trying to do a bunch of things and sometimes feeling like I'm failing at certain things. Like, you know, just very real, honest answer there. But I just always have to remind myself that, like, I got upset the other day that I felt like I wasn't doing enough for the dogs that week because there was so much going on. And Chandler's like, he sat with me because I was like snuggling Diesel, just like crying on him. And God bless that dog. He's just like, okay, Rami, just come here. And Chandler was like, you realize that you do more for your dogs than the average person does. Like, they hit the jackpot. And I feel like we all kind of have to remind ourselves of that many times when we feel like we're not doing enough. Like, you're probably doing more than someone else. And that's still a win for your dogs and yourself. Like, if you're still doing a lot, so don't knock yourself. And that kind of put me back into a level space. The tears kind of sucked up and, you know, the nose sniffles went away. So.
Yes. No, that's such a good point. That's actually something I've been thinking about a lot lately because I was so used to having two dogs and my other dog Lupin was just so much work that now that it's just Albie, like I feel bad when I'm not paying attention to him because I'm just like, I should be, like, you know, like I only have one dog. Like, what else am I doing? You know, like, so yeah, I completely agree. Okay. So we've kind of joked on the podcast recently because like Charlotte is a horse girl. She grew up, you know, riding horses, and she's mentioned that she wants to get more back into it lately. And then I talked about it with Paige on my foster episode as well, because she was horse girl to dog mom pipeline. Yeah. Like, we were kind of joking about that. So were you a horse girl growing up? Like,
no, I actually, I always wanted to, well, let me rephrase that. I didn't ride. I've loved horses since the day I could say horse. I actually found a mug at my parents' the other day of like a, there's this place where I'm from that just reopened again. It's called Yada Yada Pottery. And you could make your own mugs and paint them and fire them and take them home. And I had one that literally says, I heart horses. And it draws, I drew a horse that went all the way around the mug. It looks like a wiener dog, but it was a horse. And I had a weird peace sign on the inside. Don't know why. But I've always loved them. I always wanted to learn how to ride. I would find for sale ads. I'm like, well, we could fit this in our backyard. You know, we didn't have an HOA, but I'm pretty sure that was, you know, not allowed on our half acre for the whole house and property. It was, as you know, as we kind of said, horses are expensive and even lessons and stuff can be really expensive. And so it wasn't something my family could afford. And so it wasn't until a couple years ago that my fiance actually got me riding lessons for Christmas, and he got a lot of brownie points for that. I think part of him sometimes regrets it because, you know, he's like, well, darn, I could have gotten her something else. I should have gotten her.
Yeah, like I didn't know this would become your whole personality.
Yes. I knew it was the second I went there. I was so happy. I actually started as a dog person. My mom and family used to breed Labradors growing up. And so I, even though I was an only child, my siblings were all the puppies in the house, which to be honest, I'll take any day. That was a very fun childhood. And if anyone's ever had a lab, like, you know, we've said, you know, found, we met from Tori, labs are truly phenomenal dogs. They've been, I know the French Bulldog just bumped them out, but there's a reason why they've been the top dog in AKC for probably like over 30 years. They are a phenomenal breed. And so I grew up with them, and my mom used to do obedience shows. She would do field trials, which is, you know, with hunting and different things. And she did, you know, all of that stuff. So I kind of grew up with dogs and training and all that stuff, and I absolutely loved it. So horse girl came second, and we had, you know, we had cats too, but horse girl came second. But it's something I've always wanted. So
amazing. Okay, I'm so happy you said that, because I think a lot of people, like a lot of, like, you know, people in the dog industry or just like just have dogs and are kind of into the dog world and all the dog, you know, enrichment and maybe sports and stuff like that, rarely do I feel like they grew up with it. Yeah. Like maybe they had dogs growing up.
Yeah.
But it was never like, like my parents did dog sports and stuff and like that kind of thing, which is, I think that's so interesting. I don't think I've talked to someone who's, at least they haven't mentioned it before, that they like grew up with that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's really cool, because I feel like, you know, anytime you grow up with anything and you start to have, like, you have that foundation, it really allows you to add on to it. Like I always have known about obedience and training and different things like that. Like, that's why I knew, like, when I got, you know, Diesel and Annie as puppies, like I knew what to do, because I've always grown up with it. Like, yeah, they're all going to have, every dog's going to come with new challenges or new things that you have to learn. But I knew how to do all the basics and get everything started. Whereas when you are a new pet parent, you can be so overwhelmed. You're like, I don't know what to start. And to be honest, with the amount of information that's out there, you don't, it's hard to even know, like, should I read this? Should I read this? And that's, that's also kind of one of the reasons why I started my blog, is because I was like, okay, there's so much information out there. You don't always know what's right. And I'm not saying I know everything, but I was like, I just wanted to kind of be that, you know, dog friend that you're like, okay, I'm just going to go talk to Kaylin about her dogs today. And we're just going to talk about them and kind of have that, like, conversation is what I wanted. So people could have that if they were feeling overwhelmed or didn't know where to start, because I am pretty lucky in what I grew up with, because it's not the norm. It's really not.
Yeah. No. Okay. I love that, because that's actually how I felt. Like, I felt very similarly when I started the podcast. One, it was more from like the podcast point of view of, I loved listening to podcasts and I'd be walking my dog an hour a day. And I was like, why is there not like a dog podcast? Or like, why are there not more of them? And so so that's why I was like, this is the medium I choose. But also it was kind of similar, like I worked in the pet industry and I felt like I had a lot of knowledge that I thought was common knowledge, and then I would talk to people and they'd be like, oh, it'd be cool if there was a harness that did this. And I was like, there is.
Yeah,
like, what
yeah.
are you talking about? You know? And so, like, just little things like that. So I know exactly what you're talking about of like, hey, like, I may not know everything, but
I can help.
Like, here's some info. Yeah, I can help. Yeah. Okay, back to the horses, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm very intrigued of the fact that you started riding horses, like, as an adult.
Yeah.
Because personally, this is something that I've been taking, like, horseback riding lessons has been something I want to do for a while.
Yeah.
Along with some other stuff.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I think it's so hard to get into an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to – I think it's hard to justify it sometimes. Like, even if you do have the money and you're financially stable and stuff, I think oftentimes unless someone is, you know, grew up doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the money, the time, the energy and stuff is mm-hmm. normalized to them. Mm-hmm. Then I think if they didn't grow up doing it, then it's harder to, like, justify as an adult, I find. Or that's what, like, anecdotally, I mean.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, talking to other people. Because, like, for an example, I grew up skiing and snowboarding.
Oh, that's expensive,
too. Yeah, exactly. And so my husband is like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, we have to, like, drive a couple hours to the mountains. And then we go and do an activity all day that we're, like, sweating under our layers. We have to spend hundreds on the equipment. And then we buy, like, a $20 beer at the lodge. And then we have to drive back where I'm probably driving and you're asleep in the passenger seat. Like, I don't know about this, Carly.
I didn't sign up for this when I met you. What the heck is this?
Yeah. He's like, what? And I'm just like, what do you mean? This is fun.
This
like,
is this great. This, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun.
Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of similar with horseback riding, for me at least, as I'm like, oh, I really want to learn how to do this. Like, I would love to be able to get into it and just have a lot more knowledge in that space at the very least.
Well, and you know, it's funny that you even said about your... you know, about him doing that, because we're currently trying to plan our wedding right now. And I thought horses were expensive. What, the wedding industry freaking tops horses in some stuff. Let me tell you that. And it's funny because he, you know, we've had so many conversations, because I have to tell him many times. I'm like, okay, we're going to do a lot of stuff on our own, but there's some stuff that, like, I can't negotiate. Like, I can negotiate very well on a lot of things, but I was like, if someone tells me this is the price for a venue, I might not be able to change it. And if it's high,
yeah.
It is what it is. And we've had to have conversations, because he's just like, you know, we've been adding up like what it could even potentially cost. And I'm just like, he eventually said something like, you know, he's like, I'd rather you buy a horse. And I'm like, I'm going to remember you said that. Yeah. ever since we started the whole wedding thing, he's like, man, I don't understand. This is all for one day. He's like, now I understand. He's like, I'd rather you spend the money on horse stuff. At least that's more long term. And I'm like, I've done well. I have done well with him. I have transformed him. This is great.
You're like, oh, now I wish I gave him higher numbers for the venue.
And that's it. Well, and you know what's funny too? With this sport, you know, it is expensive, but something I have learned when I first started, you know, it really depends. And this kind of applies with certain dog stuff too. I'll give an example of dog food. Just because it's the most expensive dog food doesn't mean it's the dog food you need for your dog. Same with horses. Just because it's the most expensive horse, just because it's the most expensive saddle or bridle or anything, does not mean it's the one that you need for your horse or that will help your horse. So, for instance, the saddle I have, my trainer's phenomenal about finding things on good deals. She always is. She knows how to find a bargain, and I appreciate that. She found my saddle. We have stuff around here. We have like horsey yard sales a lot. And she was at one. I was out of town. And she found a dressage saddle for me for $500. It's basically brand new. I mean, it's used. There is some stuff that I probably will maybe taper up a little bit later on. But that saddle usually starts at $1,200.
Okay. That's what I was like, to be clear.
Yeah.
$500.
Yeah. I know.
Like, what's the deal? Like,
that's a lot of money, which it is. But when you know, certain things like that, you know, I weigh the cost, and, you know, you don't have to have, like, there's some things that are obviously going to be more expensive, like certain parts of horse ownership and tack or certain things that you do. But my biggest advice from what I've learned is finding a place that kind of respects your budget, respects what you want to do, because I started out in kind of like, you know, I thought I had to be at a barn that did like the more expensive horse shows and stuff like that. Because when you start any new thing, you don't know anything. Like I didn't even know that there were horse shows. I just wanted to ride a pony. I didn't know there was all this stuff. And now I'm like, oh, horse shows are fun, which because they are. But like, I didn't know about any of that. So when you do jump into a new world with anything, going in blind, there's a lot of stuff you don't know. And that was something I learned. You don't have to be at the barn that does those super expensive shows. You don't have to do those super expensive shows. There's local shows. If you want to do something like that, there's ways to save money. There's tack that doesn't have to be the most expensive. There's used tack. There's all this stuff that can set you up for success at a price point that works with you. But knowing no matter what, you are entering into something expensive. Like they always, the joke kind of in the horse world is the purchase price of the horse is the least expensive part. And you could still be buying an expensive horse.
Okay.
So, you know, it takes time sometimes to find your home in those things. Same with dogs or anything. It takes time to find like a training facility that really fits your goals, what you want to do, and fits. It just feels right. You know, same with even finding a vet, you know, you have to really find the one that feels right. And when you do, it all comes together, but it just takes time to find it. So you can do it. Know that you don't have to spend thousands to millions at those expensive places. You don't need the most expensive riding clothes. You know, you just need to, it's better to find a place that values all that and can teach you to ride well, because if you're riding well, you don't need some extra bells and whistles if you know what you're doing. So,
yes.
You know
what? Okay, first, that makes me think of some episodes that we had a few weeks ago where it was like Charlotte, Ashley, and I, the Friends with a Dog girls, were talking about like marketing and consumerism in the pet industry.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we're kind of like lulled into this way of thinking that like the most expensive is the best.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like the best quality or the best, you know, for our animals.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it sounds like it's very similar as far as being a discerning buyer or discerning, you know, like money manager.
Oh, 100%.
Of just like, okay, I want to do this. How can I justify it with my pocketbook and still get enjoyment out of it and still, you know, pursue something that makes me happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, that's such great advice. And then you also said another thing where you said like buying the horse can be the least expensive part of having it. And I really feel that about dogs a lot of times too.
Yes.
Like people will spend a lot of money on a purebred dog, which is fine. Like,
yes,
that's everyone's prerogative. You know, if you really want that, you know, rare breed and you have to spend $5,000 for it or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's why I always like, I think a lot of people naively enter into, they're like, we are going to get this expensive dog, this, you know, beautiful, amazing dog that I've always wanted.
Yeah.
And, but then they kind of like forget about the costs that come with the rest of the dog's life.
Yes.
And, you know, the expensive surprise TPLO surgery, like as you mentioned for Diesel, or, you know, just the food every month, like all of that adds up really quickly.
And it's going up every year with this inflation stuff that's going on. I hope that if people are listening to this from years now, things have settled down because I've had enough of like my dog food pricing. I have my Chewy ship history and I can see when my dog food bag was 68, it is now 93. And that just pisses me off.
Yeah. And it was like in a matter of like 2 years or something.
Yeah. It's literally been like 2.5 years of a $30 increase. And that's just mind blowing to me. That's just the reality. Like you were paying for that and you have to realize that it's not, I say this all the time. I reiterate it the most at Christmas, and you'll know why as soon as I say it. But like when you get that animal, it is a commitment for at least, depending on the breed, if it's extra large, I'd say lowest number is 8. But from 8 to like 16, 18 years, if you got a small little one, like those things live forever. You know, you are taking on a lifelong commitment. It is their life that you are taking care of. And you have to know, like, okay, find out all the costs in advance. Find out what time you need. And cost, I think a lot of people think like, oh, just food. No, training, cost, emergency expenses. Like you said with Diesel surgery, which we didn't have, but that was $5,000. We did not have that lying around. We had to get some help with that one. But like, you know, your annual vet visits, different things. Like there's so much that can come into it. And if you wanted to do more with them, like dog sports or trips, paying extra fees to stay at hotels, something like that, like that's not something you necessarily have to work in right away. But like, if that's something you know you want to do, having all of that information up front before you make the decision is so important. And I do think it's a step that's so often missed in addition to the breed you choose. That is a selection process that I really wish more people would spend more time doing, because there's a lot of people with dogs maybe that they shouldn't have, or maybe it shouldn't have been the first dog. Maybe it could have been like the second or the third. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, I want a border collie one day, but I have to work my way up to border collie status. That is a different level of the banana that I have that I am not ready for. I want to have way more knowledge on that. But that's just me trying to do my due diligence. I know it's an end result. It's not a starting point. I don't need that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Also, I think you made a really good point of all the different expenses, but then also you don't know how your life is going to change for those 0 to potentially 18 years that you have that dog. I think that's the thing that people don't think about, because I used to work at a dog food company, and some of my coworkers, and maybe they were like younger or something, would be like, oh yeah, now that I work here, I can't wait to get a dog because we could bring them into the office. And it was very like dog friendly work environment.
Yeah.
And you know, you could work from home if your dog ends up getting sick or like things like that, which is amazing. But they'd be like, oh yeah, like how much do you think you spend on your dog? Like a month kind of. And I gave them like an exorbitant answer.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? And I was like, well, right now I spend a lot lower.
Yeah.
But before, when I went to work every day, like I would have someone who would let him out to go potty because we had like long commutes and stuff. And so I was like, so if you leave this company ever,
your
cost is going to go up.
Yeah.
And you're all of a sudden you're going to have this additional thing. And they were like, oh, you know, and I was like, oh, or also, you know, if you travel, did you think about like a dog sitter cost?
Or boarding. Boarding's insane. Oof.
Boarding. And like this one guy I remember like specifically speaking to was like, oh, I just figured like one of the coworkers could watch the dog because we were all dog friendly. And I'm like, yes, right now. But like down the road, what if you aren't in like this dog friendly company that people are willing to watch your dog for free? And you know, anyway, no, I think it's really interesting. We could totally go down that road a lot. But I want to ask you, since you got the whole horse dog comparison or experience, and you mentioned like the least expensive part of getting a horse is just buying them. And as I said, that's true for dogs too, I feel What other similarities or differences have you seen between like having a horse and having a dog? I know you don't own the horses, but like...
I still, you know, take care of all the ones that I ride. Yeah. Just kind of like, I'll give an example with canine fitness, because that's something I'm really big on. It's something I learned with Annie in our off season of agility last year, and I've kind of become addicted to it ever since. It's a phenomenal way to stimulate your dog's mind and keep them very physically fit and healthy. I lost, between doing my walks and fitness with Annie, in a year, she lost 20 pounds.
Wow.
She went from 87 or 86 to 67 pounds. So I guess 19, but I'm going to round up to 20 because it's fun. canine fitness, what's really cool, and there's similarities with horses, is like when you're riding a horse, you want them to kind of engage themselves and use themselves so that way you're not doing all the work. Like it's a very partnership sport, just like anything with dogs, you have a partnership. But you know, there's a lot of exercises that I do with horses that I do with dogs. So for instance, when you're riding a horse, like one exercise you can do, is you can do a lot of work with poles, whether they're on the ground completely flat or they're slightly raised. Many times you'll hear them called a cavalletti. You can use them just to trot over them. You can canter, you can jump. There's a lot of things you can do with them. Kind of same with dogs. You know, I use it a lot in agility. So, you know, one of my favorite fitness brands is FitPaws, and they have an agility kit with cones and bars. And kind of same with horses and dogs. They got to know where their feet are. So they have to know where their feet are. So that way, especially like say you're jumping a horse, they got to know where their feet are lifting off and coming off. I see a weasel tail.
Is that Diesel in the back?
Diesel. You're
hanging out.
And for dogs too, most dogs only know where their front feet are. So having the hind end awareness is really helpful. So when I do those exercises with Annie, you know, it helps her to know, okay, I'm picking up all 4 feet. So that way for her, it's helpful just in everyday life, but in agility, there's a lot of obstacles that can be tiny, can be narrow. They have to be able to turn around on basically in a 12-foot radius or 12-inch radius. It's not that big. And apparently even a Great Dane can do it. I've never seen a Great Dane do it, but it's supposedly like they should be able to kind of do that on certain things. And so I've been able to see really cool similarities with that. Lateral work, is huge on horses and getting them to use themselves and getting, what if a horse person's listening, getting that connection. It's really helpful for stuff like that. And with dogs, it's strengthening, just like in horses, you're strengthening different muscle groups. The more different exercises and stuff that you do, you're strengthening muscles to be stronger. And when they're using themselves correctly, even with dogs, you're training the right muscles to be healthy and you're not training the wrong ones. So like you always want them moving what we call forward, which I say with, you know, dogs too. You don't want them putzing around. You want them engaged, ready to go. Cause you'll see when even your dog's just trotting around, you'll see the difference between them looking kind of gaity and they're not really moving. And when they're trotting, they are, you can see the difference. Their feet and how they flow is way different. Just like my cat almost died getting up onto my desk. Jesus Christ.
Both of them are like
Colonel Mustard, aka what my fiance calls Big Country, because he's kind of tubby right now. He does not have the ups that I think he sometimes believes that he does. That was kind of scary, but and I have my magazines and mail next to me, so he just slipped. That was terrifying.
Diesel's big head showed up too. He looked like a T-Rex head, just like
bro. What was I saying about the exercises?
I think it was something like you could see how some lag footwork.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So like when they're actually really moving, like if you ever watch like a dog show and you see the dogs in like the show ring and they're strutting their stuff, they're not putzing. They're not just kind of there. They are moving, especially when you see like the setters or the breeds with the coats. You know they're moving when their coat is just flowing. Just kind of like, you know, a horse is engaged like at the walk. You know you have a good walk if their head's actually moving. If they're just, if they're not doing anything, you don't have any energy at all. And that's something I've always had to work on. So there's a lot of really cool similarities with like exercises that I've done or just movement similarities. And it's been really cool to be able to see it, especially as I learn more, which I'm always trying to do, incorporating things that just kind of, you know, you're able to see, like at the beginning, you asked me about Rally. For anyone here who's a horse girl too, for me, Rally is dressage for horses. You have in dressage, you're riding to letters in a ring, different letters, and you do certain things at those letters. You know, you have to memorize that. You don't get it written out like you do on a rally sign, but it's kind of similar. You're on the ground with your dog. You're doing things at certain touch points until you finish your test. It's very similar. So it's really kind of cool.
No, I'm so happy that you said that because I've seen, you know, like your content about like equine and canine fitness, and you show how you're able to do similar things for both, like for the horses and also the dogs. Because we, you know, as much as we joke about the whole like horse girl, dog mom connection, it really is surprising kind of now that I think about it, that we don't have more crossover with not just sports, but just like activities and fitness and like enrichment and stuff between what you would do for a horse and a dog because of the whole four leg thing. You know, like I feel like for dog stuff as a human, we lean more into like puzzle toys and, you know, sniff things or like busy boxes, which is totally fine. Like that's still great enrichment.
Them. Yeah.
But like the footwork thing didn't even think about like until I saw your stuff and I was just like, oh my God, like that would be really cool. And I've never tried that.
This is what's been really cool about canine fitness. You know, for Diesel, for me, the reason why I do it with him is keeping him strong, keeping everything as strong as possible since he had that surgery. I want to always, especially as he gets older, like we've been able to, between fitness and walks too, we've been able to get 10 pounds off him because the bigger the dog, the less excess weight you really want on their joints. And especially as they get older and he's had the knee surgery, I'm trying to keep him as fit as possible. And he looks pretty darn good. You should see his little waistline. He is some sexiness right over there. And Annie, you know, that's why I did it for him. Annie, the result I've seen with her, you know, in addition to the weight loss and being fit and stuff like that for her, I don't even care about that. Like, yeah, it's great, but her confidence has just kind of skyrocketed. Like it's, she loves puzzles. She loves that stuff. Like I said, she's that dog who likes to work and have a job and do things, but she also has an off switch, which is very nice. But when she's doing things like that, like ever since I started doing that and agility, like I've been able to take her more places. Like she'll still have moments where she's like, oh my God, the world is empty, blah, blah, blah. But like, for the most part, when I take her to agility class, there's some other dogs who, you know, can be a little reactive too. She's never once woofed at any of them. She's been calm. She's excited. She's focused on me. And I've been seeing that more when I take her to other places. Like, it's just been so cool to see her kind of be like, kind of look at me like we're doing all this stuff together, which is what I love about this stuff too. Everything's such a partnership with dogs and horses. You are our team. And I feel like when you have, when they finally understand, and vice versa, when you finally understand your animal and they understand you and you have that trust, that's mm-hmm. when the confidence they've been working on comes all together. So when you go somewhere and they're unsure, they can literally look at you and be like, we're good, right? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, got it. Let's go. And it's just been so cool to see that from her and just see, like, we've worked so hard. I mean, she just turned 4 in January. We've worked so hard to get to that point, especially when you know where you start. And then when you see the progress, it just makes me emotional sometimes because I'm just so happy to see her be able to relax in certain things and to see her just walk into a room and be like, I own this. Like, that's her voice, by the way. My name's Annie. She's got like a funny nasally voice. But her personality is that, you know, she is the tits and she knows it. And I love when I see that come out. She's sassy, but she's a boss bitch. She owns it. It's great.
I know that exact feeling that you're talking about because I had that pretty significantly with my dog Lupin.
Yeah.
Because when I first rescued him, he was kind of a mess and like didn't trust anyone or anything and blah, blah, blah. But when we moved to London and they have kind of some different leash laws there. And so he was allowed to be off leash or not allowed, but like more dogs were off leash there. And so I could let him off too. And he had, because he was foxhound. So like pure hound. He just loved being able to have the autonomy, but also like because I gave him that freedom, he then never left.
Yeah.
You know, like it was kind of this like trust and this like he lost a lot of anxiety because he was like, no, I can go sniff the thing that I want to sniff.
Yeah.
But also I'll come right back to mom.
Yeah.
And it was such like a great like relationship and trust thing. And I didn't get to experience that with him until like we got to that point where we were, you know, in this expanse open space and
that's so cool.
Be off and no, it was so nice. And so I know what you're talking about. But on that note, and this is one of my last questions for you because I could talk to you forever, Caitlin.
This has been really fun.
So, thank you so much. But how do you balance all of the different like strengths and weaknesses of each dog and the personalities? But how do you balance all of that between your equine and canine fitness and whatever you do with the cats too?
I'm actually trying to do feline fitness with them. Colonel really needs it for his gut. But like that's a different topic and exploration because I haven't fully started it yet. But I guess for me, like, it all starts with kind of knowing them first. So for instance, there's stuff that I do with Diesel that I could never do with Annie. And vice versa. And I think knowing your dog and then you have to accept it. Because I think sometimes we get a little in denial, like, no, it'll happen someday, it'll happen someday. Well, it might not. It really might not. You have to know what you have. Like, obviously, know there's going to be some improvements. Like, I know Annie's anxiety and stuff is never going away. I know that there's certain things I have to do. Like, if sometimes I'm going somewhere, if I take Diesel with me, I'm always going to have to leave her, like, a puzzle or something before I go. Or she might be a little upset that she's not joining and stuff like that. You know, it's stuff like that. It's knowing your animal and knowing and accepting all of that. But then also just kind of experimenting a little bit and seeing what they do love. So, like, Annie was the reason I got into enrichment. Annie and Tori, I found puzzles and different things through her. And then I was like, oh, that looks kind of fun. And then I never had like a herding working type breed before. Annie was my first. And so I was like, okay, well, she's trying to get into everything. I got to give her something to do. And then once I saw how much she loved it, I was like, well, I wonder if Diesel will love this. And then he loved it. And then, you know, to be honest, if Diesel didn't have his surgery, I'd probably do a little for fun agility with him because he actually grew up doing stuff like that and he loves it. So he plays with small stuff at home. But it's kind of a little experimentation, seeing what they love and knowing that like they might not love everything. Like they might not. Like I'm doing rallying stuff with Diesel just because he's wonderful. He disagrees. Doing wonderful. He's always been perfect at his obedience. So he can go anywhere. He's happy and it's safe for him and his joints. Annie loves to zoom. She loves to go fast. She loves to do everything. She's my agility dog. I want to do fast cat with her as well. They both love using their nose in their puzzles. So I want to try barn hunt with them and see what they think. You know, this is kind of like the year of all the dog sports that I'm going to be sharing all about for anyone who wants to learn about them throughout the year. But I feel like it's that. It's finding what they love. If there's something that both dogs love, seeing if you can do it together with them at a location, split the time or something, or just know that that's the day for them. Or just knowing that if your dog doesn't like something, okay, try something else. That's kind of the same with your horse, too. There's a horse at our barn that was trained to kind of do jumping and stuff like that, and now he's a dressage horse, and he loves it. So, like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, no... You got to know their strengths and weaknesses. Even if it doesn't turn out to be probably what you may have wanted, you got to put mm-hmm. them first. And it's like, well, what do they want? How can I support them? And how can I make them, how can we be stronger together doing what we both love at the same time? Because just because you yes. didn't get to do, like, Diesel would have so much fun at agility. He would have so much fun. He'd knock every single thing down. That's without a doubt. But like, he would have so much fun, but it's not good for him. So we play with little stuff and then he's still perfectly happy. So it's just, it's finding,
yeah.
I think it's finding balance that way. It's all those kind of different areas.
Thinking outside of the box a little bit.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to adjust things as you go, which don't be afraid to do that too. That's a huge note. Yeah. Don't be afraid if you're seeing something that isn't working perfectly. Like, it might work for one dog and not the other. You'll see that with training everything. Like, there's a lot of things that you have to adjust along the way. I do fitness exercises with my mom's dog and stuff when I'm over too. And I made this like little course and her dog Remy could not get over the first thing. She's like, I don't want to touch that. I want to touch that. And she was getting so stuck. And so I looked at her and I was like, let's take it out. Took it out, went over it like it was nothing. And she did the rest of the course. And I'm like, sometimes, and Annie didn't have a problem with it, but she did. But then she still completed it. So sometimes it's being able to listen and see where you need to adjust along the way.
One of the things that you said too, because I think this really pertains to rescue dogs, mm-hmm. but also really any dog anyone gets, is seeing where they're at or meeting them where they are at and like seeing their strengths and weaknesses of not what you expected them to be like or not what you expected them to have. Because I kind of experienced that a little bit with Albie of we wanted another hound dog.
Yeah.
And he looks like hound dog, but personality, not at all.
Yeah.
Like personality, he very much leans more into like whatever else he's mixed with and stuff. And so I had to learn that with him. He is, I mean, kind of like Diesel, like definition of good boy.
Yeah.
Like he is just so easy and such a good boy.
Yeah.
But I was not used to a dog who would want to do like dog sports and stuff. And so now I'm looking into that kind of thing. I'm looking into what sports can I do with him? What activities can I do with him? Because I know it would make him happy.
Yeah.
And I know he would get a lot of fulfillment from it. And I would get fulfillment from doing it with him.
Yeah. Too. It's a fun thing for you both together.
Well, okay. I'm going to end it here. We may need to have you on again, Caitlin, at some time in the future.
So okay,
we
can
keep talking. But, last quick question, because this is the With a Dog podcast, what does life with a dog mean to you?
Just means a better life. Life would be so boring if I didn't have any of them. Like, you know, especially since I work for myself, like they're my coworkers and they're great. Like these are the best coworkers you could ever have. You know, it just makes your life better. It makes you just as much as you do enriching things for them, that they're doing it for you. Like I couldn't have gotten through a lot of things in my life if I didn't have their support system. It's different than a person. It just is. Like for anyone who's never had a dog before or are listening, find this podcast and they're like, man, now I want to get a dog. Like, do it. It is the best journey and experience you will ever have in your life. All animals do is just kind of love you. They know you take care of them. And to be honest, they're taking care of you. Like both mine are rescues and everyone always says like, you know, you'll see the magnets, like who rescued who kind of a thing. That is 100%. My dogs. On that note.
Okay. Well, if anyone wants to follow you and all of the amazing info that you have, go ahead and plug all your details.
Yes. Annie, come, or I'm going to come get you. One last wolf. Okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. I had to wait for my dogs to not be angry of neighbors existing. but we got them together. So, yeah, if you guys want to follow me on any of my stuff, it's Sparkles and Sunshine Blog across everything. TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, and then my website's kind of the same, sparklesandsunshineblog.com. I share about canine fitness, dog enrichment, dog sports. I have a puppy 101 section for anyone. If you are getting a puppy, I have a lot of really cool stuff on there, from teething to potty training to crate training. I have a lot of really good, helpful tips on there. And then I have my cat and equestrian side too. So if you're kind of very well-rounded in the pet space like I am, I would love to have you as part of my awesome community. Or I say possum community because I love puns, which I threw in a couple in this episode if you caught them. So that's me, my personality in a nutshell.
Perfect. No, thank you so much, Caitlin. This has been so fun. Thank you everyone for listening. If you want to follow the podcast, it's at With a Dog Podcast on Instagram, and then TikTok is at Carly With a Dog, and my personal account on Instagram is also Carly With a Dog. So we have new episodes every Wednesday. Hope you guys enjoyed this, and we'll see you next time. Thank you again, Caitlin.
Yes, thanks for listening. Bye guys.
Bye.
All content on the With a Dog podcast is for informational and comedic purposes only. It should not replace professional advice, treatment, or diagnosis by a certified veterinarian, trainer, or behaviorist.